Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps. When it comes to food, perhaps no other chef did more to change the way Americans cook and eat than Julia Child. Her groundbreaking cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, introduced us to everything from basic knife skills to bœuf bourguignon. The legendary editor who brought that book to market was Judith Jones, and she reflects on their friendship in her own memoir, The Tenth Muse, My Life in Food. She told Steve Paulson, it's hard to convey just how different American attitudes toward food were before Julia.
It certainly was a very different time.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps more than anybody, Julia Child awakened these repressed appetites, because it was too long we'd had this sort of Puritan heritage where food was fodder, and that was that. And about the time I came into the world, gastronomic America was at its lowest point. And what happened after the war, of course, was that not only had the GIs traveled and brought back an appetite for more interesting tastes, but every little secretary was suddenly going to Paris for the first time. It was no longer just for the elite.
Well, you were one of those people who went off to France at an early age. I mean, you went there after college, and my sense is you really discovered the glory of French cooking at that time.
I did, yeah. I was supposed to go for a two-week vacation, and I stayed 3.5 years. Fortunately, my purse was stolen when I was sitting in the Tuileries Gardens and thinking, how am I going to leave this beautiful city? And I just belong here.
And the purse had your return ticket in it as well.
It had everything, my passport, return ticket, traveler's checks, my whole identity. But instead of sort of boohooing and saying, send me some money to come home, I just went out and started looking for a job and decided that it was fate.
Now, what was it about the French and food that was so special, that was so different from the environment you grew up in?
Well, for one thing, they shopped 2 or 3 times a day, and they loved it. I can remember one particular time I was standing in the boulangerie, the bread shop. We always got our bread fresh every morning. And there was a man in front of me, and he opened up the baguette, and he cheered. And then he passed the bread around to, there were a lot of people waiting in line. And they all, the cheer just rose higher and higher. And I thought, what is this about? And I asked somebody, and they said, the flour is white. We haven't had white flour since before the war. You would just never have found that in America. That joy in something, that pride, that pure love of food. It was captivating. I just fell for it.
And there were all the specialty shops. I mean, there was the butcher and the baker and the fish shop, yeah, and the cheese store and the wine merchant.
And the charcuterie and the fromagerie. And, yep, you spent a good deal of time shopping. And I think I got to know the French in that way.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that you met your own husband when you were in France. I mean, he was an American, but happened to be over there.
He was an American. And he was discovering food in much the same way. So it was very much a shared thing. And when we came back, we wanted to continue it. But we found it hard because you couldn't find in a supermarket or even a vegetable market things like leeks and shallots and all those things we just take for granted today. Fresh herbs were unheard of, and it was mostly iceberg lettuce. And so it was frustrating. And I also realized how much I didn't know. I had learned a lot from asking people, but I didn't know the techniques of cooking, the finesse, the things that make the big difference between just a good dish and that, as Julia would say, soigné.
It seems to me that we can almost date the year when American culture came to love food. I mean, when French yes. cuisine went mainstream in America, and it was 1961 mm-hmm. when Julia mm-hmm. Child and her yep. her two French co-authors came out yep. with this massive book, Mastering the Art yep. of French Cooking.
That's
and,
right.
and you played a pivotal role in getting that book published.
Well, somebody else might have done it, but I felt that I was just the right person. We had such sort of parallel careers, Julia and I, because we were in France at the same time. We both fell in love with cooking. It was a kind of rebellion against our families. I mean, and so it was a natural coming together.
Now, it's so fascinating reading about the whole process of getting that book published, because it wasn't as if you were just the editor who came across this great manuscript and there it was, voila, you mm-hmm. had the book. I mean, you actually tried a lot of her recipes in your own kitchen. You read, for instance, about making boeuf bourguignon and, you know, seeing what that was like.
And the difference between Julia's instructions, she told you what meat to buy. She told you to use butter plus a little oil because the butter would burn. She told you to dry the meat because you can't brown something if it dries. You mustn't crowd the pan or it steams. Once you learn it, it's part of you. You apply it the next time.
Now, it seems that a lot of the success of that book had to do with Julia Child herself, especially
yes.
once she got on television, which happened
once she got on
soon.
Television. It was a miracle because I don't think there's been anyone like her since. She was totally natural, unscripted. The wonderful remark she made just came from the gut. And when she picked up the chicken and slapped it and somebody said, "Why do you massage the butter into the chicken?" She'd say, "Well, I think it likes it." And there were so many things like that that just popped out of her mouth. As I say, I think it released something that had been long repressed in people, and that is that food is fun, it's sensuous, it's creative, it's generous. I mean, you're doing it for friends and family. Enjoy it. That was just unheard of.
Now, you came to know Julia Child very well. What was she like?
Oh, she was great fun to be with. I remember once we were visiting in France for Christmas, and I went over to her house to help with the Christmas dinner. And she had a goose. But the important thing, she said, is that the feet are on that goose. I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because you want to get the tendons out, because that's what makes the legs tough." And then she took a huge knife or whatever it was and whacked the ankles and put her finger in around the tendon. Then she threw the goose on the floor with a broomstick, and then she pulled and the whole tendon came out, and she said, "Just like pulling out the cork out of a bottle of wine." So it was just wonderful.
Now, later you became the editor of a number of renowned cookbook writers, Claudia Roden, who wrote the classic book of Middle Eastern food, mm-hmm. Madhur Jaffrey, who put Indian food on the map in America, and many others as well. Did these various cookbook authors have anything in common?
They did. And I made this discovery that one of the qualities that was so important is that feeling of love for this food. And they were all displaced people. Claudia grew up in Cairo and they had to leave. But she longed for the food of her childhood. That brought back her family and memories. And there was always this feeling of the recipe had that story, that history behind it, and that emotional attachment, which I think is very important. And they were also very good writers because they had to learn from scratch, just as you and I have to learn from scratch. So they understood the home cook to tell you what to anticipate and how to correct the seasonings and things like that. I found that they were really our best teachers.
And they weren't professional chefs. I mean,
they
were amateur cooks, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I think the professional chef lives in a whole different world. I know he does. His challenge is to do something dramatic, surprising. He gives us ideas, of course. I mean, I love to go to a restaurant sometimes just to taste something that you want to try to emulate later at home. That isn't home cooking. Home cooking is more a rhythm through the whole week, how you're going to use dishes again And for the individual, it's really more challenging and creative.
Now, today, you are in your 80s. Your husband mm-hmm. passed away some years back. Do you still do much cooking yourself?
Oh, I did. And I thought at first that I would find that difficult. But it was quite the opposite. I found instead that when I came home in the evening after a day at work, tired, that the one thing I wanted to do was to roll up my sleeves and see what was in the fridge, improvise a bit, and smash the garlic. Then when it's all ready, I love to put it nicely on a plate. I light the candles. I maybe turn on some music. And when I sit down, I'm really not alone. I'm with the past, in a sense, and I'm honoring something that was very important in both of our lives.
Judith Jones was an editor at Knopf for more than 50 years. Her memoir is called The Tenth Muse, My Life in Food. Steve Paulson talked with her.